Hey, everybody, to the Charlie Kirk Show, Colonel Douglas McGregor talks to us about Ukraine, then Christina Bob about the 2020 election. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests. He's a clear thinker and a realistic thinker when it comes to what is happening in Ukraine. It is Colonel Douglas McGregor. Colonel, welcome back to the program. Colonel, there's a lot of bluster and bloviation around this topic. I was recently speaking to a senator off the record. I'm not going to say who. And I was able to have a candid conversation on the condition of anonymity. But he said, Charlie, we are so close to having the Ukrainians totally kick the Russians out of Ukraine. Is that right?
I think the man is on hallucinogenics. I can't conceive of anything more inaccurate, but this is consistent with this utterly fictional narrative that comes out of Washington and London primarily. Ukrainians have taken horrendous losses. There's some evidence that when Zaluzhny, the commander of Ukrainian forces, met with Secretary Austin and General Milley, that he told them that the Ukrainians had sustained 250,000 dead, including civilians and military. We know that they've lost 150,000 plus dead. There's no question. And the other thing that nobody seems to understand is that Ukraine is no longer a nation of 37.5 million as it was when the war began. More than 10 million Ukrainians have left the country. All of the Ukrainians interviewed in Western Europe have said they will never go back. To that must be added the losses taken in the war, the fact that there were already 2 million Ukrainians working in Western Europe and the United Kingdom. And there are now 4 million Russian-speaking Ukrainian citizens living under Russian occupation, where they feel obviously liberated from the Ukrainian oppressor. So if you put all those numbers together, you end up with a nation of perhaps 18 to 22 million. This is a fraction of what the war began with. So I don't know what these people are talking about. Meanwhile, the Russians have over 700,000 troops poised to enter Ukraine. The Ukrainian front in the south is crumbling, disintegrating. The Ukrainians can't recruit and mobilize any longer. They have to force people at gunpoint into the fight. The whole thing is a tremendous tragedy. And as General Milley suggested weeks ago, this would be a good time to negotiate. Of course, that was weeks ago, and things have gotten a lot worse. So I don't know who the senator is, but he ought to check his facts, because not much coming out of the CIA or MI6 these days is truthful.
What that senator said is consistent with also what Lindsey Graham said recently in his visit to Ukraine, and also Democrat senators as well. And what you are explaining, and it makes total sense to me, is the polar opposite of what you will get from some of the propaganda networks, where they say, hey, just, 1,000 more missiles, tanks, planes, and this thing can be over by the spring. Look, I am no military expert. I have not deeply studied war history. However, I think it's a fair thing to glean from history. Fighting Russia in the winter is not exactly the brilliant takeaway of the last 200 years in military history. Why is it that our military regime can't see this clearly?
Well, keep in mind that the people that are at the top of the American military establishment were not selected for demonstrated character, competence, or intelligence. They were picked because they were politically malleable. These are people that are willing to say and do whatever the politicians want them to do or say. And they are always interested in acquiring more cash to buy more things in the Department of Defense. And that helps them when they retire to get good jobs in the defense industry or even on Wall Street, where defense money counts for a great deal of income. So the bottom line is, I think you're dealing with a very tragic situation. It's going to be impossible to hide in the months ahead. I think within the next 6 weeks, effectively, Ukraine as a state will collapse. It's very close to it at this time. I mean, you have Ukrainian soldiers posting videos of themselves freezing, without food, without medical care, can't get ammunition, begging for permission to withdraw because they cannot survive the onslaught of the Russians. And increasingly, they're saying, you know, if this doesn't stop, we Ukrainians will go to Kiev and put this regime out of business. It's a very dangerous situation, and we should be interested in putting a stop to it and negotiating without preconditions, because that's the only way we can put a stop to this war.
That's exactly right. And I asked this question of one of the good guys, one of the senators that's actually asking the proper question, Senator Hawley, who was on our program. And I'm going to ask this to you as well, just more generally, why is it that nobody in leadership is even saying the word peace? Peace talks, peace negotiations. Why is that?
Well, Charlie, if you think back to the beginning of this war, when the Russians went in initially, they went in small numbers. They had strict guidance from President Putin and the Russian high command to, frankly, kill as few people as possible and do as little damage as possible. Because the expectation in Moscow was that when we saw that they were quite serious, that they would not tolerate this dangerous threat in eastern Ukraine on their border, a threat that would inevitably include precision-guided missiles, theater ballistic missiles from the United States, they thought that they'd have someone to negotiate with. It took them several months to come around to the understanding that this is very little to do per se with Ukraine. This is an all-out war to destroy Russia, to destroy its government, to dismember it, to eliminate it as a major power. That's caused a sea change in Russia that no one here in the West expected. And I think we decided, well, you know, the Russians are weak. They weren't really serious. If they had been, they'd have gone into Ukraine the way we went into Iraq. All of this is misleading. And now they're in the unfortunate position of having to admit they were wrong, especially if you say, well, we need peace. The Ukrainian people need peace if this nation state is to survive. Then you're effectively saying, you know, we were wrong. And no one in Washington ever wants to admit that they were wrong.
Exactly right. It's funny. I have three questions that adults would ask about Ukraine if they weren't trying to get a contract from Raytheon in the future, which is, what does success look like? At what cost are you willing? What are you willing to spend to get to that level of success? And then finally, will you ever acknowledge failure or error at any time and be honest with yourself and the American people and the citizens that things might not be going according to plan? And number three is a violation of the commandment of Washington, D.C., which is, it's always the people's fault, never our own fault, hyper-aggression, always gaslight. Your thoughts?
Well, they're not going to say that we were badly advised by the general officers, because if they do that and pin the blame on the bad military advice they got from the top, then the generals are likely to go public and say things that are unkind about the political leadership. I mean, this is one of these situations where everyone is prepared to point fingers at everybody else to avoid blame. And I think someone like Senator Graham has decided that it's better to go down with the ship and fail miserably and catastrophically than it is to say you were wrong. Of course, I disagree with that, because I see Ukraine as a nation effectively vanishing from the European map the way we're headed.
Yeah, and this is not a game of risk with your friends in a college dormitory. It feels like they're treating it that way sometimes, though. These are people's lives, with real people being displaced. And talking to Ukrainians on the ground, one Ukrainian family I talked to yesterday that I just adore, I was speaking at church, they said Zelensky is an awful person. As we started, you said liberated from the Ukrainian oppressors. Most of the media refuses to touch that topic. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers services with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, then you could switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage of the best 4G and 5G networks, so you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team helps make switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them at 878-PATRIOT. I think very highly of Patriot Mobile. I love their team, Glenn and all of them. They do a wonderful job. Get free activation today with offer code Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Colonel, can you just elaborate briefly on what you mentioned, liberating from the Ukrainian oppressors? You mean Zelensky is not Nelson Mandela?
No, I'm afraid not. Some of your viewers may not be aware that when he originally ran for election, two things were true. First of all, Zelensky could not speak a word of Ukrainian. He was only fluent in Russian, his original native language. Secondly, he ran on a platform of essentially peace and reconciliation, of promising to negotiate an end to the fighting with Russia, particularly in Luhansk and Donetsk. And of course, he completely reversed himself once he was in power. In addition, when he met with Putin and the leaders of the West about the Minsk Accords, one of the critical conditions of the Minsk Accords was that Russians living inside Ukraine would have equal rights before the law, that Russians could still speak their language, they could write in their language, they could actually educate their children in the language. All of these things were overturned. And since he's been in power, he's practically criminalized Russian identity inside Ukraine. So the man is oppressive on the scale of Stalin in many respects, and he's certainly killing his own soldiers by the bushel, the way Stalin allowed his own soldiers to be killed during World War II. In fact, Stalin executed 1 million Soviet soldiers on his own. So no, the man's a disaster. He's corrupt. He has expensive homes in various places. One is Venice, I'm told, something in Miami. And I think once this war is over and we dig into the government in Kiev, we're going to discover large numbers of people with fat bank accounts in places like Cyprus, who all attempted or succeeded in leaving the country with hundreds of millions of dollars in hard cash.
The consensus of Hollywood and Washington, D.C., that this guy is the best person ever, and in that he's kind of the modern-day Winston Churchill, someone who loves Churchill and has studied him and has read a fair amount of his writings, I just find that to be such an insult on so many different levels. But so the Biden administration is entertaining, and to their credit, they haven't done this yet because it would be so insane to send F-16s, but they are sending tanks and they're sending weapons, so they don't deserve any credit for that. And the military machine is focused, as we said earlier, on trying to just increase the conflict, raise the temperature. So I want you to respond to one argument that I receive more than any other argument, Colonel, and sometimes I don't answer it honestly as clearly as I should. This is the number one argument I get from people that support it and politicians. Charlie, if we don't do this, then the CCP is going to take over Taiwan. Your response?
Oh, that's utter and complete nonsense. Remember, I think it was General Abizaid and others back in 2003 and 2004 were telling everyone that if we don't defeat the Iraqi insurgency, we'll be fighting the insurgents in our own country. The Islamists will come to America, we'll be fighting them in the streets. During the Vietnam War, Lyndon Johnson told everyone, if we don't defeat the Vietnamese communists will be fighting us in the streets of Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. This is the oldest and the most utterly false argument imaginable. It's all bound up with this, what I call billiard ball analysis. In other words, the ball hits one ball and then suddenly all the balls are taken down together. This is utter nonsense. This was the domino theory in Southeast Asia. Forget all this crap. This is absolutely fundamentally wrong. What's happening in Ukraine has nothing to do with any anything inside Europe or the United States. It has everything to do with this man, Zelensky, his regime, and then people in Washington, sadly, who provoked him and urged him to make war on Russia, thinking that we could somehow or another win it. And they're wrong. We can't.
Just add a little more context and color to how Zelensky took power. Was the Central Intelligence Agency involved?
Well, I think he took power legitimately because of his platform. With the exception of one small area around Lvov in western Ukraine, virtually everybody signed up for Zelensky when he ran because he promised an end to the war, which should tell you something about the true sentiments of the people of Ukraine. They don't want this war with Russia. They never did want this war with Russia.
It's fascinating. And I think more our regime definitely was pushing Zelensky closer and closer. Is it true that there was a peace deal that potentially was offered right before the invasion that either our government, Biden, or Zelensky refused?
No, there was never anything on offer from us or Zelensky before the Russians intervened. But what we did have was an opportunity for some sort of negotiated settlement because Zelensky and his team announced that they would accept neutrality. As soon as that happened, Boris Johnson flew in from London and said, "We in Washington will never accept that. You must recant." And so that was the end of any attempt to negotiate a settlement.
Colonel, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Noble Gold Investments is pleased to let you know that gold was the best investment class for 2022. Through all our record-breaking inflation, crashing stock market, the crypto scams, there is one asset that has held its own. Gold. According to longtermtrends.net, gold has actually outperformed the S&P 500, Dow, and Bitcoin for 2022. Had you invested in the S&P 500 a year ago, you would be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you'd be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022, and silver is not far behind. Yes, while the world was busy hailing other assets as the real hedge, gold and silver are the only assets that would have protected your wealth. So join the thousands of others by opening a gold IRA or silver IRA with Noble Gold Investments. Get in right now and you'll bag a free 1/4 of an ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Christina Bob joins us about her new book, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election, what it means for 2024. Christina, welcome to the program. Tell us about your book.
Thank you so much for having me. The book really came about right after the 2020 election. I was an investigative reporter. I started digging into kind of the questions that I had about it. Probably many of your viewers had the same questions. And I just started taking notes and recording. I interviewed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, whether it was elected officials, poll workers, witnesses, county clerks, city clerks, you know, everybody that maybe had a part in the election. I was interviewing them and just taking notes. I like to joke that I accidentally wrote a book because, you know, by the time it was all done, I thought, you know, I've got to get this out there so people can see what, not just what transpired, but a lot of the behind the scenes politicking of why didn't we have more Arizona style audits, and why were some very Republican communities blocked from investigating their own elections? So I try to answer those questions and shed some light on not just the actual process of the election, where it went wrong, although I do that too, but really give you the politics behind the scenes of what happened.
What surprised you most in researching this saga, this crime?
The Republican response. I was, the way I like to summarize it is Democrats stole the election and Republicans covered it up. I was very surprised at many Republican leaders that just refused to allow their constituents to go further and look, whether it was their colleagues that wanted to do, you know, an Arizona style audit in another state and they were blocking that, or constituents that had open records requests or FOIA requests. And I was just really surprised at the amount of effort that Republican leaders put into trying to maintain the status quo when so many of their constituents are frustrated with the status quo.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Arizona audit. What was the kind of conclusion of that? Because I don't think, unfortunately, that audit really materialized in any structural changes in the 2022 election.
You're right. It didn't. And there was a lot of misinformation surrounding it. I know you guys were right there in Arizona on the mm-hmm. front lines and kind of seeing it for yourself. And I was reporting from the arena, from the Veterans Memorial yes. Coliseum. And the findings didn't translate to what the mainstream was putting out. Of course, the mainstream put out, oh, there's an audit confirms Joe Biden won. That is not at all what it confirms. I mean, it found chain of custody documents missing, evidence seals were cut and broken. Nothing had been maintained from the time of the election until the time the audit started at the end of April, beginning of May. Nothing had been maintained properly. There had been access into the boxes. I think every single pallet had boxes on it, that boxes of the ballots that had been rummaged through in some point. So there was zero chain of custody, zero way to confirm that everything was done in order. Then you also had 168,000 ballots that were printed on irregular paper. You had voters that were added to the voter roll after the election, but were marked as having voted in the election. I mean, there was a myriad of problems with it that seemed to get swept under the rug, largely by Republicans. As you know, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors is four Republicans and one Democrat. They have authority to take action on this. And not only did they not take action on it, they demonized anybody who highlighted it or tried to talk about it.
I remember I was meeting with President Trump in July or August of 2020, right in the outer oval. And Donald Trump's instincts were 100% right. He was complaining mm-hmm. about mail-in voting. He was complaining about these drop boxes. But Christine, I'll be very honest, I'm not going to say who, but a certain staff member was in the room and said that it's all false. And so I'll be very honest, the people closest to President Trump didn't listen to him.
Well, I can't speak for who was close to President Trump at the time, but I certainly saw after the election. And I think we can all recognize that whether it was the RNC or local officials or whoever it was, there wasn't a proper response from Republicans. I don't think we're letting out any secrets. At least personally, I'm dissatisfied with the response. So the way I would answer that is the people need to get involved. I don't think we can rely on even elected officials, and particularly Arizona has a bunch of great fighters. You've got good elected officials there. But we've given them 2 years to prove to us that they can solve this problem. And it hasn't happened to my satisfaction yet. And so I think the answer really is a grassroots movement, something that Turning Point does very, very well.
Thank you.
And yeah. I think that is the answer. It has to be us. We can't be looking to anybody else to save it at this point.
Yeah. So what I'm afraid of, though, is that there are all these problems and our base is demoralized. I mean, we receive thousands of emails yeah. that say, I'm never voting again. I'm not getting involved. So what is the game right. plan? What is the blueprint? Because, I mean, I share your diagnosis totally. I mean, I think it's these elections are so corrupt. They have machines that go down. I mean, when I went to go vote on election day, these poor guys were doing their best to try to get a machine to work and they were unsuccessful. So you got Stephen Richer, you got Bill Gates, Arizona, we could go at length, but Georgia has its own problems. Pennsylvania has its own problems.
Yep.
But I'm afraid, Christina, that if we don't thread the needle, our beautiful base is going to stop voting.
Well, I think that's a fair concern, and certainly you're not the first person to express that concern, or that I've heard anyway. I would say hang in there and get involved. To the people who are starting to get discouraged, I would say get involved now, because the most encouraging place to be is with a group of MAGA patriots who are fighting for this country. It's contagious. And so get involved in a grassroots effort in your area, or, you know, work with your state or local GOP, whoever you gel with and feel like I can support that vision, catch their vision and run with it. Because if you sit back and just watch the news, you're going to get depressed. And what I say is, we just got to this fight. We really just kind of figured out what was going on in 2020. And then we had 2022 and realized, you know, we didn't make enough change by 2022. So we've got another election cycle. I mean, they've been doing this for decades. We cannot give up right now. We still have time. So we have to fix it. You know, later on we can complain about it, but we don't have time to get depressed about it, because this is an all hands on deck moment. And I would be willing to bet, at least the people that have voiced the sentiment to me of, oh, I don't want to vote anymore, I don't want to do anything, I would bet most of those people, and I mean this with all respect, probably haven't been working the polls. They probably haven't been volunteering. I mean, you know, Turning Point has some amazing rallies and get out the volunteer efforts. They're fun. They're exciting. You get out there and you're in that environment and you're like, yes, we're going to do this. Let's do this. So if you're struggling with that, get involved, because it's actually really contagious and hopeful.
What do you think is the most achievable reform we can get done, let's say, by Christmas? Okay, so we have we have 11 months, right? We got really three states that are going to be determinative for the presidency. It's all going to come down to Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona. That's it. You win those three. You don't even need Pennsylvania if you also win Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida, which President Trump will. What's in your research, and your book is terrific. Everyone should check it out here. Stealing Your Vote by Christina Bobb. What is the most achievable reform that you think we can get done by Christmas?
I think if we have enough people getting involved to be on the chain of custody, meaning volunteers at every point on the chain of custody, one, it makes it harder for them to insert illegal ballots into the count. So I think just having the numbers to show up. I mean, the 2021 election, I think, is a really great example. If you contrast Virginia with New Jersey, and I go into detail on this in the book, those were the only two gubernatorial races in 2021. And Virginia had a conservative success, and New Jersey had a repeat of 2020, where the Republican was up the morning after the election, yet it took 10 more days to find more ballots. And eventually counties flipped, and suddenly you had this miraculous comeback from behind for the Democrat, and the Democrat incumbent is still in office today. So I think you can look at those two states and realize that the biggest difference between those two states was the number of people who showed up, not just to work the polls, but to volunteer along the entire chain of custody to have eyes on. So showing up is the easiest thing. And I say that understanding everybody is very busy and has scheduling conflicts, but as far as like just actual effort going into it, you can show up. And then I think holding leaders accountable, letting them know that you're following what they're doing, you're watching them, the voter roll situation, make sure they're cleaning their voter roll. So as they show up, voter rolls, and then just letting your official, putting pressure on your officials to let them know you're watching. You can do that through open records requests and just kind of digging into what your government is actually doing.
And I know you talk about the Zucker boxes as well, correct? And drop boxes.
I do.
But in Arizona, our Republicans said drop boxes are just fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem, right? Is Republicans aren't doing what Republican constituents want. So we have to force that issue. We have to be sending letters, emails, phone calls, showing up, you know, in rallies or protests. We have to get louder because they're not listening. And so we have to, and by louder, of course, I mean peacefully and all of that, but we have to force our elected officials, whether it's the state legislature, whether it's the county clerks, whether it's county supervisors, whoever it is, we have to start pushing the issue. And there's exciting developments in this. We saw Shasta County in California, of all places, they actually got some really good reform in their own county because they had a citizens initiative that really was putting pressure on the county recorder there, the county clerk in Shasta County, who kind of capitulated and met their demands as far as some of the reforms that they wanted there. So we're actually seeing progress even in California. So if they can do it in California, I think we can do it. There's no excuse to not do it everywhere. My book does talk about the corruption and the problems with the election, but it concludes with it is salvageable and we need to salvage it. So I just don't want the title to be a misnomer into thinking that it's a depressing all is lost book. It is not by any means. The whole point of it is to try to mobilize people to fix the problem.
So let's talk about Zucker boxes. You talk about the outside influence. I believe right. President Trump has some current legal challenges to try to fix some of these things. Is the RNC doing anything? I mean, walk us through what President Trump is doing to try to remedy this through his campaign and his team.
Sure. Well, certainly, the RNC has a myriad of open cases surrounding elections. I mean, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's at least dozens around the country in a variety of states to correct procedural issues. So, yes, that is underway. And we, the Trump campaign, are working closely with the RNC to discuss issues that we'd like to see litigated. The RNC has taken much of that up. So that part of it, I think we have to continue doing and moving forward with, but it is being done. And then also, of course, we need state legislatures to step up and pass legislation where they can to kind of secure elections and make them more secure where we can. And then where we can't, you know, that's where it falls to you and me to show up and actually be out there and make sure that there's no cheating as best we possibly can. So it's a multi-level approach. And we need to progress with it. We need more action to be taken. And I expect that to happen over the next several months and all the way up through the election in 2024. But yes, we absolutely are on the right path. I would not be doing this job if I wasn't totally hopeful that not only can he win, but I think he likely will win. But I also don't want to pretend, you know, that it's going to be easy and that every problem is solved and don't worry, America, it's fine. That is not at all the case at the moment. But we need all hands on deck to get involved to secure the election.
The book is called Stealing Your Vote, Christina Bob. Christina, I won't read all these emails, but we're getting a lot of people that are saying never voting again, didn't vote this midterm. Christina's making my point. This is why I don't vote. I'm afraid President Trump is not going to be able to win if our base stays at home. I know I keep mentioning that point, but this is very alarming because what we're seeing from the audience. So let's talk about states and specifics, right? I mentioned this earlier. Fulton County, Cobb County getting involved, being precinct committeemen. State legislatures aren't going to do anything in Arizona or Wisconsin or Georgia. So then what's the plan?
Well, maybe. Well, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, Arizona won't. I mean, Katie Hobbs is governor and Wisconsin won't. So, and Brian Kemp's he's a waste of time. So that's not going to happen.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. But I think there could potentially be some movement there. We'll see how it goes. It comes down to the voters. I mean, we all have to put pressure on our county officials, on those administering the election, whether it's doing research into problems that have happened before and really presenting it to them and saying, you know, you need to change this, and then showing up and actually being part of the solution. That really is how this changes, is the officials have to realize that America is engaged. We are involved. We are holding them accountable. We are holding their feet to the fire. And thank God for programs like your program here, where we can actually discuss some of that. So I think the more pressure the constituents are putting on their elected officials to actually make change, whether it's the state legislature or not, let's assume for a second there isn't any change in the legislatures. You can still have impact with your county officials and with your election officials, whether it's a county or precinct or wherever you're at. So write letters, do some research, get open records requests, present them with information and demand some change, because that's the only thing that's going to change it at this point.
Check out the book, everybody. Christina Bob, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election, what it means for 2024. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.